Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You know what? You didn't really need to add the White Sox back in there. That was like just taking a bat and kneecapping me. You went all galooly on me right there, you dirty rotten sir so-and-so. I mean, we're on radio, so I can't really say what I want to. But you know in the spirit in which...
After the first period, the Jets start slow no matter what sport they're playing. No matter what they are. Zach Wilson's already thrown two picks. If it's early in the game, the Jets start slow. They stink. But they'll get it going. Watch. The Jets will do great. End of the second period, into the third period, Jets will be great against the Ducks. Just watch. Trust me.
We'll see. They're closers, right? Everybody knows this, going back to Ocean's 11.
Now, a quick update on Kyrie Irving. Before something I disagree with LeBron James, I've never disagreed with him more about something he said last night following the Lakers preseason game. And I'm going to get to that. But he has broken his silence in regards to his being able to play for the Nets without getting the COVID vaccine because of the rules in New York City. Shams Charania of The Athletic and has this tonight. And two direct quotes from, if you choose to get the vaccine, I support you. Do what's best for you. I continue out there who have lost people to the pandemic, to COVID. It's not being anti good to me. I'm feeling uncertain, and that's okay. I know the con of my life. It's crazy times that we're in. I haven't hurt anybody. I haven't committed a crime. Part of the quotes from Kyrie Irving tonight as why he is not getting, probably not going to play for the Nets, and who knows what his NBA future is. Now, Kyrie Irving is a pretty good one, right? I'm not anti-vax. I'm not the, but, and you know, if you choose to get the vaccine, I support you. If not, I support you. But hearing him say, I'm feeling uncertain, it's been months. We've lived with COVID now. You know, we're going on after 18 months now. And what are you feeling uncertain about? You're uncertain about the... I don't know if you think that suddenly I get this vaccine and in 3 years everybody's going to drop dead who got the vaccine, which is what I'm sure many people who don't want to... I don't know what I'm putting in my body. Yeah, you put things in your body. You don't go to the grocery store and buy stuff and look at the ingredients on everything. You don't go to a dinner and say, I'm sorry, what are your ingredients? Your potatoes au gratin. Is it something that's going to be good for me? You don't get on a plane and ask for the identities of the pilots and say, hey, how long have you been flying? What's your track record? You do things every day, but I'm standing up about the vaccine. Okay, but by now you should be able to have the information you need on it. And for Kyrie Irving, this is part of what it's always been for him and why I say, look, the Nets are out of the Kyrie Irving business because Kyrie is a wild card. He's someone who can right now say, listen, I haven't committed a crime, haven't hurt anybody. All right, you've walked away from the team a couple of times. You've had decent reasons a couple of times, maybe in theory, but this is now a guy who could potentially be saying goodbye to his NBA career as far as ever getting paid again. Is someone going to pay Kyrie Irving $40 million a year if he somehow becomes a free agent? Kyrie, how about 1 year and like $5 or $7 million? That's it. I mean, that's what at the heart of Kyrie Irving is. He's someone who has always marched to his own drum, and much to the chagrin of many people, which you could stand up and support him and say, well, he could do what he wants to. Okay, you also got a lot of people that are depending on him. You know, you got his teammates and an organization that paid him a lot of money to come in and win a championship. And it means a lot to a lot of people. And it's not just the Nets. It's the NBA. It's everything else. It's what I'm doing to the team. I feel none of that. It's been, hey, this is my decision. I haven't hurt anybody. No, you haven't hurt me. You haven't hurt Mike Harmon. You haven't hurt Justin Frostberg. You haven't hurt anybody. What you've done is you've hurt the team championship. You've hurt everything as far as that goes, because like I said, Nets basketball means a lot to a lot of people, and not just the fans who pay money to come to a game. So for Kyrie to say this, I'm like, yes, this is kind of what it is for him. Yeah, I'm kind of unsure, so I'm going to kind of do my own thing. Okay. And so the Nets have to move on, because if he's going to do his own thing, then you know that he doesn't have any responsibility to you, so you have to move on as well. So when it comes to the Nets and Kyrie Irving, this is an example of why this is where things are headed, and it's going to be, and the Nets have moved forward, and they're out of the Kyrie Irving business.
Well, it also goes back to the, tie it to the Adam Schefter stuff of last hour, because some of Sham's reporting for The Athletic, remember, sources and sources and more sources before this Instagram Live. It's like, you know, he wants to be the voice for the voiceless and all of that. That's all Sham's in The Athletic. Right, in terms of information coming out, because there were several paragraphs that read like a Wikipedia page, or here's the bio sheet of how much money he's had and his endorsements and everything else. And now you get this. And to your point, sure, there's a lot of players. Maybe you signed on with Brooklyn and approved that, saying, all right, here's the three we're going to have, right? When Harden gets traded there, that part of the assessment, I have to believe, was, all right, you got the three of us, and whatever we round the roster out, we're feeling pretty good, right? And now that changes, and that dynamic kind of flows into a different space for Steve Nash coming in and coaching. Same thing, the expectation of who's on your roster for the ownership group as they built the roster, fans buying their season tickets. And again, you're rooting for laundry. I get it. And I argue it all the time that you're rooting for the name on the front, or should be, more than the name on the back. But let's call it what it is. People are drawn to stars, and maybe there's a percentage of folks that bought in because you got half your home games and they like the way Kyrie plays. When Kyrie plays. So you have that. And whether you're and figure out, you know, to just extrapolate all the questions you asked about pilots and everything else, do you ask your doctor where he finished in his class or she finished in their class?
No, of course not.
Just that, no. Just that you see the diploma on the wall. So again, and it's one of those. Yes, it's your in raising their fist, going freedom of speech when it comes to John Gruden. It's like, well, not freedom of consequence. And in this case, consequence for Kyrie Irving is the loss of some $17 million plus is between the open marketplace and the max that Brooklyn would have been able to give him in the next contract should he continue his NBA career. But I give him credit. He put a face on it today, right? It wasn't a source mm-hmm. of a sources or through it, you know, the agencies and everything else. So good on him for that. But it doesn't solve anything. I still come back to the fact that you've got a league that's 95% vaccinated, and we should trumpet that a little bit more. Right. And it's not about anti-vaccination. It's about mandates and things. So those are bigger discussions going outside of sports into so many other sectors right now as we watch this continue to envelop the country and a developing story on a day-to-day basis. But for Kyrie Irving, he's now said his piece. And at least for the moment, I guess that's where it ends. Right, I'm not going to come up here and start shouting and screaming like certain members of our media brethren. Kyrie plays or he doesn't. His teammates in locker room are okay or they're not. And you move from there. If you bet them on, you know, thinking he was going to show up, sorry, perhaps you're not getting your money back because he doesn't play. It's got to be treated like an injury or leave of absence or whatever else. Beyond that, I'm just ready for the rest of the league that has gone through the process and is ready to play. And when Kyrie's ready to come back to the fold, well, then Kyrie's ready to come back to the fold. And if not, he had a good run.
Look, this is why. He's marched to his own beat. It's fine. We're going to play some of the sound for you coming up in the show. But teams just can't invest in that. And they can't. And so when they move on, okay, this is your decision. You're okay saying goodbye to all this. Okay, that's your decision because the team's got to move on. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Again, we'll play some of the Kyrie sound for you as it comes in throughout the night tonight, doing a bit on Instagram tonight talking about this. But now to something I couldn't disagree with LeBron James more. I don't know that I've ever disagreed with him more about something in his entire
life. Oh, I've had
career.
Plenty.
Oh, but no more. But no more than
okay.
This.
All right, what do you got?
After the Lakers lose last night, he finishes taking questions from the media, and he is leaving the podium as Anthony Davis is coming in to answer questions. And as they pass each other, they start talking about Squid Game. Take a listen.
My time is up. Yep, I did finish. Did you finish it? You watched it?
Yes.
You done?
Yes. I guess if you were looking at me, I
was yeah, I didn't like the ending. No, I know they started off on season two, but like, get on the go see the dog, bro. Like, how you doing?
Oh my God, we were just talking about that.
This
Now
that's what I want more of, right? I want more of that conversation about how they feel about Squid Game. You heard LeBron say, I didn't like the end. I know they're setting up for season two, but I didn't like the end. I completely disagree. I love the end. No spoilers. No, I'm not spoiling anything for
you. Yeah,
me.
I haven't seen it yet. Spoilers. It's it's on the watch list for the weekend.
No. The end was great. The end was awesome. All right. Squid Game's going to wind up being like Hunger Games, where the first one, the first movie, the first book is incredibly good. And then the second one is going to be not quite as good as the first. And then the third one is going to be not quite as good as the second. It's just going to go down in value. I love the ending. The ending was great. I loved it. I hated the beginning because after the second episode, I'm like, why am I watching this? How have you taken a show about what this is about and turned it into something that's incredibly boring? What have you done? But then I stuck with it, and then there was no going back. There was no, I mean, there were so many scenes that were just so full of relief and dread. Because look, you know that the premise of this show is that people, to try to make money, go through these games, these kids' games, and they get killed if you get eliminated from a game. And you get killed in a really gory manner. Like, there's a lot of blood. There's a lot of gore. Oh, my God. It's out there. But the scenes when they're in between the games, when they're surviving players are in this big dorm room, when they're together, I mean, that's what I think of most when I think of this, those in-between times. That you're relieved for the characters that made it, but you're dreading it, knowing that other things are coming and other difficult, harder games are coming. Oh my God, I was just so all in on it from like the third episode on. But you got to get through the second episode, because the second one, I'm like, you've turned this into something boring. How have you done this? How have you turned this into something boring? I don't get it. I don't get it. But then I'm glad I stayed with it, because I'm like, okay, for all these people in it, they can't be wrong. That many, you know, the billions of people that have watched this now, they can't be wrong. And I'm so glad I stuck with it. So glad.
It's like the old Elvis album. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. I mean, that's kind of what we're looking at here. So, yeah, it's on the list to watch. I'm remiss because I've been catching up on Succession, which comes back on Sunday. One of my favorites. And obviously in 2 weeks, we get the return of Curb Your Enthusiasm. So I need to be fresh up with my Larry David-isms, you know, most of which I can't speak with normal people anymore, unless they know the jokes. Then I'm okay.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm also doubly excited because now everybody's doing it, but I don't care. But Squid Game is going to be my Halloween costume. So, it's the greatest costume ever, because I'm going as one of the players, and you wear a tracksuit. The players are in a tracksuit. So I'm like, oh my God, I get to wear just a tracksuit jacket, and a pair of tracksuit pants. It's going to be the most comfortable costume I've ever worn on Halloween ever. And I can't wait. I may wear it just to do regular things during the course of the day. And just wear it because it's a tracksuit. I just get to wear a tracksuit. It's so awesome. No have to worry about a fake nose or an itchy wig or a really tight shirt. No. It's a tracksuit. It's the best. I can't wait. I ordered it last night. I can't wait for it to come. And I know millions of people are going to do it because of the timing with Halloween. But oh my God, the ease of which for this costume, like, it's a tracksuit. I'm so excited. I can't even tell you.
But see, here's the thing. If you then take off any mask and you're in a tracksuit, you could say it's a tribute to George Segal of the Goldbergs and legendary actor, buddy of Jeff Garlin, who gets us back to Curb Your Enthusiasm. See, it's all good.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike and Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Anyway, there's no mess. I'm just going as myself. I'm going as a player. It's all. Oh my God, I can't wait. I every day I'm going to be checking the mail, going, is it here? Is it here? I want to put it on. Is it here? Is it here? Is it here?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh,
so now Derek Carr has jumped in saying, hey, let's open up all NFL team correspondence. Derek Carr standing up, very upset that John Gruden is no longer the Raiders head coach. Quote from him tonight, if we just started opening up everybody's private emails and texts, people would be sweating a little bit. Hopefully not too many, but maybe that's what they should do for all coaches and GMs and owners from now on, is open up. You got to open up everything. See what happens. Let me just say this. No one made John Gruden say the things he did. I'm sorry, Derek Carr. John Gruden is not a victim. He's not a victim in this. But it, now the Raiders are pushing it that they're being victimized just 2 days after this has happened. We're being victimized. Look at what's going on with John Gruden. Oh, I can't believe this. Let's see what everybody else has bet. No, I'm sorry. You got caught. The guy that got caught speeding can say, everybody else is speeding. No, I caught you. Joining us now on the hotline to help us talk about this more. He is a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. He is a longtime NFL insider. He is the editor-in-chief at fansided.com. And he is author of the book, The Cowboy Bees, and How I Got Them to Give J.R. Smith a Bad First Round of Golf. It is Jason Cole. J. Cole, what's happening?
The Cowboy Bees are attacking the entire NBA this season. It's J.R. Smith is just the start of things.
Wow.
Oh yeah, it's a war. It's the NFL. It's the war between the NFL and the NBA to see who's relevant. Because certainly baseball, despite the fact that the Dodgers are still alive, is not relevant. So Jerry Jones has decided to attack the entire NBA and anyone who plays basketball with Cowboy Bees, J.R. Smith. I'm breaking this story tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, good.
Yeah, I've got many sources, including the Queen. And I don't mean Queen Latifah. Let me just say that.
Or the equalizer.
The equalizer.
Well, wait, now, which
the Cowboy Bees are the equalizer in this case.
Is it Claire Foy or Olivia Colman? Which queen are you talking to?
Actually, it's Queen Elizabeth.
Right, yes, I know. That's who played the queen in the two series of The Crown.
You know, nerd!
You didn't watch The Crown, huh? Not a Crown guy?
I watched about 5 minutes of it. Look, there's only so much dreary English humor that you can do after you watched Alistair Cook when you were a little kid. King's Speech.
Well, you had the opportunity. Yeah, you had the opportunity to say, since I got up really early on Sunday and watched the Jets, and you took the high road and went to, British TV from a childhood. DJ.
Yeah, the Jets at 6:30 a.m. Now that's excitement. Yeah, Jets. They didn't complete a pass before 7:30. That was the best part. So,
not quite a masterpiece theater for Zach Wilson and the Jets, DJ.
That was actually funny. Not
you
bad
like
for
that.
You.
I know.
So.
All right. What do you make of the latest situation now involving Gruden? Here come the Raiders, and Mark Davis is upset, and Derek Carr is upset. Damari Smith wants the emails getting out. There's no way these emails get out. There's no way the NFL released those 50,000 emails.
This is tighter security than Hillary put on any of her emails, let's put it that way. There's no way. There's 650,000 emails. Those are not going out, shape, or form. And Dan Snyder is, freaking out right now about the possibility that they might. The question is, the chain of who got them and, who had to turn them over, who had to produce them. This is not – I thought that the NFLPA did this last Friday just with that one email because they were trying desperately to save – Damari Smith as the executive director. And I know everybody said, he got reelected. Sort of. He was forced to declare it was his last term. That was number one. Number two, it's probably a short term, maybe a year. It's sort of like Michelle Roberts in the NBA where they're sending, it's like, we're not firing you exactly, but you're going to go away gracefully and move on, right? That's what's happening with the NFLPA. But I will say, as of late as Friday, what I was told is that D. Smith was like, guys, I was really dealt a bad hand when Gene died and I had to take over 2 years ago. It's like, dude, that was 13 years ago. And you're still saying that you got dealt a bad hand back then? Like, you're a lawyer. You weren't able to get leverage over the the last 13 years, but whatever. What do I make out of this? I think they're trying to embarrass the Raiders. I do believe that in the grand scheme of everything, this was not so much about Gruden as it is about Mark Davis. and trying to force him out. How this plays into that, but there's a lot of people who believe that the NFL wants Mark Davis out, and they have told Mark Davis that. So that keeps coming back around that ultimately this is part of a large-scale plot for either the minority of the Raiders to take control of the team or for the team to be sold, period, to somebody who has a better grasp of how to market the team and really get it going the right direction now that they've moved in this new building. Is that true? I don't know. Nobody in the NFL has told me that. But certainly there's a lot of smoke around that idea.
Does it extend back to the litigiousness of his dad back in the day? I mean, because this also got leaked the day the anniversary of Al's death.
No, they think he's Tommy Boy. That's the problem. Like, that's what they think of Mark Davis. Yeah, like, I mean, like, don't go – like, can I just say that most of the owners – who now own teams were never sued by Al Davis. Like, I think the league is probably turned over, you know, probably 16 to the 20 of, or 16 or 18 teams have turned over since the last time there was a lawsuit between the two that I can remember, at least one that was really serious. So yeah, I don't think that that's what it is. There's, you know, everybody has an appreciation for Al at this point in time as being the great villain of the league. But what they really look at is Mark is a guy with not deep enough pockets to really do what they need to do in that market, and a guy not willing to really work with his minority partners effectively to really to make it work the way they want it to make it work and really maximize the value of that team. That's a general belief. Because, like, Jerry Jones years ago was angling to have some friends of his by that team when Al was still alive. I mean, he really pushed hard to get some people, but the contract was written in such a way that, you know, everybody knew that they were eventually going to buy out Al and force him out, and Al didn't want to do that, so he went for with a different offer and sold it. I don't know, I think it's 22% of the team is owned by this other group led by Paul and David Abrams, and that was a more favorable deal.
All right, so if this is to, if this is done for Mark Davis in an attempt to try to push him out, is the other stuff that's in there related to Mark Davis, or is this the only stuff that, like basically, what do you think is in there that could come out?
I have no idea, and especially with Mark Davis, I have no idea. But this is, I mean, you know, it's caused there's chaos within this team right now. I mean, literally, there's chaos within this team because everybody's sort of forgetting that Mark Bedane, who's worked for that team for like 30 years and was the president of that team, was forced out. I mean, he said he walked away and retired from the team, but he was forced out, right? Before training camp even started. And here was a guy who really got the deal, the mechanics of the deal for the Raiders done, got the stadium and the financing done, was the highest ranking official. And don't forget this about Mark Bedane. Mark Bedane's grandfather was a guy named Al Bedane. He was a basketball coach in New York City, in Brooklyn, right? One of his top players he ever had long ago was a guy named Al Davis. So the Bedane family has known each other for, God knows, 70 years. And this loyal employee and grandson of Al Davis's high school basketball coach, you know, leaves on the eve of training camp. Like, he was forced out, and finance people in that organization were forced out, including one guy who'd been there, another guy who'd been there for 18 years. So there's all sorts of stuff going in the front office. Now you got chaos on the football operations side. Like, and they've got, I think, Bain Capital, whatever, the one of those financial advisory groups that Mitt Romney founded so that he could rip off half of corporate America. Like, they're involved with the Raiders right now. So, like, this is not tilting Mark Davis's way in terms of having people around him who will be, you know, sycophants and, you know, to support him. So, like, he's pretty isolated at this point in time.
So is the London game between the Dolphins and the Jaguars in this case for a while, J. Cole?
There nothing diverts attention. Okay. Nothing diverts attention like Jaguars Raiders in London. Yeah, especially all the British folk who go fly to Florida every year and get outrageous sunburns because they have the palest, freakish skin in the entire world. And I say that because I am part British and have some of the palest skin you will ever see of any human being.
Really? Do you have a British accent? You can't do an interview in a British accent for us? Really?
Look, I was traumatized by Alistair Cook at an early age. I just can't do it at all, okay?
I can't hold a brandy snifter and sit in front of a roaring fire.
In my head. Like, that, you know, like that. My mom's controlling the TV, and I'm like, I just want to watch something interesting. Mom, come on. I don't want to watch Masterpiece Theater. No, please stop. Don't make me go. Oh, it's so cultural. No, it's not. It's boring. Can we watch, like... You know, can we do something interesting? Come on.
Instead, how about you turn to another episode of I, Claudius?
Stop!
You dialed up an I, Claudius. I love that.
When we last left Roman Emperor, Nero was fiddling as Rome was burning, and then Claudius took over.
Oh, the trauma. God, my childhood. It's just coming back to me right
Claudius,
now.
Claudius was fired for going 7-9, one too many seasons in Rome.
Studio City, it's all rolling back to me. You know, and none of it has to do with the pancakes at DuPar's or the sandwiches at Art's Deli. You know, like, just it's all gone. It's just Alistair Cook rolling first to drink a cup of coffee and making me wait all the time when we went to restaurants. Oh, God. It was just so awful. God. 11-year-old right, me is just traumatized. Okay, can we move on?
There you go.
Something?
There's another book there to be had about Alistair Cook.
That'll be a big seller. Oh, that'll be huge. Yeah.
He's Jason Cole.
Coffee with Geraldine Cole. Can't wait for that.
You can follow him on Twitter, at JasonCole62. His new Twitter profile will be him in an ascot with a brandy snifter in front of a fire. That's Jason Cole for you.
That's the NFT.
In his book, Elway, Relentless Life of Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Oh, we're coming out in paperback. We're coming out in paperback next month.
Nice.
Theoretically.
See, there's this literal stocking stuffer for you right there.
Right. Yes. Buy it. Elway, A Relentless Life on bookshelves in paperback. Get to it.
Maybe PBS is going to do a miniseries on your book, and now you've thrown that away.
God, that would be awesome. Oh, that's what we need to have happen. We need to have the Daryl Strawberry, John Elway chapter recited on PBS. That would be awesome.
Well, that's just it, though. We get all of the video that we can of Alistair Cook and CGI.
Henry striking out. Oh, God.
No. Now right, that would be this. No. It would be this. It would be... Welcome inside. I'm going to read you about Tim Tebow. My name is Benedict Cumberbatch, and I hope you enjoy the next hour of Tim Tebow and his brothers here.
We're in the end game now.
I'm dreaming now. This is like, now you've uplifted me at the end of this. I feel so much. Benedict Cumberbatch, the dog?
I make things happen for you.
He could be a dragon reading my book. That would be just awesome.
Take it easy, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
Bye, J. Cole.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy.
You're going to hear from Kyrie Irving coming up in a few minutes, who went on Instagram Live tonight to explain his situation, not getting vaccinated. Will he play for the Nets again? Where is he at? Oh, you will hear it coming up in a few minutes. But coming off of last night, like we talked earlier tonight about LeBron James saying that the ending of Squid Game he didn't like. He's wrong. The ending was great. The beginning was bad. But I disagree with LeBron on that. The Lakers lost last night in the first game the Big Three, the new Big Three, played together with Westbrook and Davis and LeBron. Now, the Lakers are 0-5 in the preseason, and suddenly there are some questions. How are they going to do? Listen, the Lakers are too big to fail. They have too much talent. They will not fail. How it's going to go for them, as look, they're already almost done with the preseason, and they've played one game together. They're going to start out just like the Heatles, all right? The first 15 games of the season, they're going to be about 500. The chemistry that you need, you're only going to get by playing together. You know, Trevor Ariza's out for the first couple of months. Talen Horton-Tucker is out. Malik Monk, Kendrick Nunn, Wayne Ellington, these guys are all hurt, have missed the last couple of nights. They're going to be just like Miami, right? Seeing this new Laker team is the biggest thing that everybody is looking forward to for the beginning of the NBA season. And the desire to win the title in week one is always overwhelming, but it's irrelevant, right? Because LeBron has lived it before. He knows how to navigate. The Lakers are going to be just fine. Like I said, it'll take about 15 games for them to figure each other out. Maybe they're sitting around 8-7, 9-6, 7-8, 8-8, whatever it is. Then they'll start to take off. They'll ride Westbrook in the regular season for the majority of the minutes. It'll be Westbrook. They'll rely on him the most, then AD, and then LeBron, and they'll be playing their best basketball as the playoffs show up, and that's when the Lakers are a salute machine. So it's going to take a little while, but by the time they get to that point where they need to be playing great basketball, they'll be playing great basketball. I'm not worried.
No, but that's just it. It's a marathon. It's like we're talking about with this Kyrie situation. Does he need to be there on October 20th? Hell no. If he comes back at midseason, if he doesn't come back at all, there's still a contender in the East. But the point being, they don't need him now. Likewise, the Lakers don't need to figure out rotations and fits and everything else in the first week of the season. There's going to be some games that are probably ugly. Not to mention, we're also going to be watching how much the rules enforcement, goes through on the jump shooting and fouls and everything else. Obviously, Brooklyn affected by that, but so will be the Lakers. I mean, we've been talking about it with the NFL and illegal man downfield being called a lot more than you've ever seen in your life. So it's all about those, you know, points of emphasis and learning there. You've got some two-way players, right? They just picked up the now much-traveled 20-year-old Seiko Dimboya. Is he a guy that's going to have some kind of fit later on while Horton Tucker is out with his thumb injury. I mean, there's a lot that goes on, but you got until April before you're playing meaningful basketball as long as you're in the top 10, right? It's not even top 8 anymore. It's top 10. So, yeah, I'm not worried at all. Pace yourself. Take your load management days. Binge watch a show on an off night that you take against a bum team and be ready for the playoffs. Yeah, I'm not worried at all.
They will be just fine. Again, the first few games will be rough, and there will be a lot of people who want them to fail. I want the Lakers to lose. I want them to. It's going to be doom and gloom. I don't think anybody's going to cry like Dwayne Wade did at the beginning for the Heat.
Tell everybody the Miami Heat is struggling. And
now, Russell Westbrook could get mad.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody's going to cry like Wade did.
No,
anybody crying like Wade.
Some saltiness and some awkward pressers that way, perhaps. Or maybe they'll just talk more about TV shows since everybody now really wants to know the viewing habits of LeBron James.
Hey, I'm telling you, man, the ending of Squid Game is great. It's the beginning that's not good. LeBron, if I had LeBron on right now, the entire show we would have, I would talk to him about Squid Game. I really.
Well, I would have had to have watched it so I could participate and then be the mediator.
Every time I watch an episode, my wife would say to me, "Have you seen any squids yet? Have there been squids? Have there been squids? Have there been squids?" That's all she's saying to me. Coming up next, you will hear from Kyrie Irving. It's Must Listen Radio, Fox.